is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Thursday Night Football tonight, 5:20, Giants versus football team.
And guess what?
Huh.
You can get all your coverage right here.
No way. Really?
Yes, sir.
We got that game?
We got
get
that game.
Out.
We got Sunday's game. We got Monday's game.
Wow.
We got all the footballs.
We do have all the footballs. We do have all the footballs. Hey, you know, I know this... I know this sounds silly because I'm about to question a decision, or should I say a lack of decision, that the Washington football team has made.
Okay.
Like, you know, you want to talk about the lowest of low-hanging fruit. But the season just started, right? And one of the things that was announced not that long ago was that the, what have they narrowed it down to, I think, five names? To replace the Redskins, that their former name. They are now the football team. Why? Why would you not have that decision ready for the start of the season?
I don't think they could. There was a legal thing.
Really?
There's a lot of... Apparently, changing a team name is like... There's a lot of like hoops to jump through.
They've narrowed it down to eight, excuse me. This was announced actually in August. The Armada... Brigade, Commanders, Defenders, Presidents, Red Hogs, Red Wolves, and then, of course, Football Team. Apparently, it's been narrowed down to three. They just, of those eight, it's been narrowed down to
what
three.
What are the three?
They haven't announced that. They just said it was narrowed to three.
Because I like Armada a lot.
The Washington Armada. Hi, I'm an Armada.
Where I play for the Armada.
What are the Presidents?
Me.
Red Hogs, probably.
Red Hogs is cool.
Brigade?
I like Brigade.
I like Brigade.
Brigade's cool.
Commanders.
Commanders is fine. Defenders is fine.
Well, Defenders, though, is a little weird because what happens if their defense sucks? Then they're going to get made fun of a lot for that.
They're going to get made fun of anyways.
I know, but I'm saying if your name is the Defenders.
The Washington football team.
You better know how to defend.
Dan Snyder owns them. They're going to get made fun of.
I don't know, dude. I understand the Cleveland Guardians went through their thing, and then it turned out that was a roller derby team. I get it. But get it together, man. And by the way, just leave it the football team. That's a great name. Like Washington football team or football club even. Oh, but then you go Washington FC. Washington FC, which is, that's too soccery, I think. It's got to be weird for players playing for them, too. You know, knowing that you play for the team and you're just kind of a that team is very much kind of jokey in how they're run. And but they have very serious, you know, they have real life NFL players and Ron Rivera. You know, those are they've got some good personnel and they have a pretty decent defense. So anyways. We're going to focus on the 49ers as we do each and every day at 8:05. Each and every day. You've got Sean Salisbury at 8:05 on Tuesdays who covers all of football, but we also ask him a few Niners questions. But we love getting down and intricate with this team. And here to help us out today, our friend Chris.
More of the best 49er coverage in Sacramento.
Let's go, Niners! Go!
Yeah! Here's the Sacramento Bees 49ers beat writer, Chris Biederman.
Hey, there we go. Again, every Thursday, 8:05. The one, the only. The paper of record in Sacramento is the Sacramento Bee. And as he familiarizes himself with the area, he is extremely familiar with the San Francisco 49ers. He joins us right now, Chris Biederman. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Hey, looking forward to this. We got your name right.
Yeah.
I just want
that's a nice first step.
I want to point that out. You know, when welcoming in new friends and promoting them, it's always good to mess their names up. So thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Look, it's happened to me my entire life. My name does not sound like it's spelled visually. And you know what? I've come to grips with it. And I accept any mistakes that are making, but we can move forward now that we've gotten that out of the way.
That's good. I'm glad. It's always good. You go through a little strife in the beginning,
sure,
and then move on. So, Chris, the Niners are in at the Greenbrier in West Virginia, and yes. I want to start out with Kyle Shanahan's comments and actions involving Brandon Ayuk, first round draft pick. But a guy who he now says has to regain his spot over Trent Sherfield, who impressed in the preseason, had a seemingly great relationship with Trey Lance, who caught a touchdown. And at practice, apparently, during drills, you saw everyone else doing their thing. Last in the drills, Brandon Ayuk, who was going through them by himself. And that may not mean much because there were a couple practice guys before him. But what is going on with Shanahan and Ayuk?
You know what? I'm not entirely sure. I've asked around a little bit, and I think the thing I've come away with is that Brandon Ayuk just hasn't been himself over the last few weeks, and I don't know what the reasoning is for that. I think, you know, if I were to speculate, you could say that, you know, football players are humans too, who ride peaks and valleys at work, and maybe there's something going on personally under the surface. Maybe the hamstring still isn't 100% right, although, you know, he is healthy enough to play in practice and return punt. So, you know, I'm not entirely sure what's going on with Ayuk other than to say that he's not the same guy he was early in training camp. He's probably not the same guy he was last season when he was the 49ers' best pass catcher, or at least best receiver. So it's certainly an interesting situation just given who he is, given what was expected of him going into the season. And also, you know, we know Kyle Shanahan is very tough on his best players, and particularly receivers, because, you know, that's the position that Kyle Shanahan played in college, and it's the position that he scouts most heavily outside of quarterback with the personnel department. So, you know, I think he's certainly sending a message to Brandon Ayuk with the way that he's splitting reps with Trent Sherfield. I think, you know, there's something to that for sure. I don't know that Brandon Ayuk is necessarily in Kyle Shanahan's quote-unquote doghouse. I know that's a popular phrase these days, but I just think Ayuk isn't playing up to his potential. Kyle Shanahan recognizes that, and Kyle Shanahan's pushing him to be better, and part of doing that is having him split snaps with Trent Sherfield.
Could some of this, or even maybe majority of it, be a lot of us, I don't want to say overreacting, you're certainly not, but could a lot of this have to do with his hamstring? Are you buying that?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I mean, he missed a good amount of practice time in August because of that hamstring. So he could have used that, obviously. And so we don't, you know, I think that's absolutely part of it. And while he was out, Trent Sherfield got more comfortable within the offense and continued to practice well. So it's also one of those things, too, like the other side of the coin, is that Trent Sherfield has earned some playing time and has made the most of his opportunity on offense after being brought in primarily to be a special teams guy. So I think, you know, the other side of Brandon Ayuk being a disappointment, or at least so far, is just that Trent Sherfield is playing well and exceeding expectations. So Ayuk has more competition for that job than initially anticipated, and now it's up to him to respond and get that playing time back.
The Sacramento Bee's Chris Biederman joining us this morning. Chris, obviously a devastating injury to Jason Verrett in week one at, you know, what is, you know, most people see as the thinnest position the 49ers are at. First part of this question is, where are we at with Emmanuel Mosley? And then what are the 49ers going to do, in your opinion, long term, now that they know Verrett's out of the season, to fill the other side of the cornerback position?
Yeah, I think Emmanuel Mosley's, I guess, day to day, he hasn't practiced this week. He's still dealing with a knee issue, and I wouldn't be surprised if he did not play on Sunday. And obviously, that's a pretty big loss, because behind him, there really isn't a ton of depth you feel great about. Diamador Lenore, the fifth round pick out of Oregon, did play well in his debut after, you know, a strong preseason, and looks like somebody who could be a competent starter down the road, but he'll still just be in his second game, and And the good news with Lenore is that, you know, he was a 3-year starter, 4-year starter at Oregon and played a ton of football and didn't miss much time due to injuries. So he's somebody that I think you can rely on just from a durability standpoint, even though he's only playing in his second game. So, you know, beyond those guys, you have Josh Norman, who, you know, frankly, I have no idea what Josh Norman looks like playing football these days. The 49ers have enough confidence in Josh Norman to sign him a week before the season, despite not participating in a training camp. Kyle Shanahan indicated that he could have played last week if they needed him. So I'm guessing he'll be active and available to play Sunday. Whether or not he starts, I guess, remains to be seen. I didn't think Dante Johnson played particularly well in his snaps late in the fourth quarter, obviously, when the Lions were making their furious comeback. And Ambry Thomas, the rookie third-round pick from Michigan, is somebody I think the 49ers are high on as a starter long-term. But, you know, he's got a lot of rust to knock off after not playing in 2020 and then dealing with colitis earlier at Michigan that cost him some time there, too. So, you know, I think if you look at just what the NFC West is in terms of a division loaded with receivers, it would make a ton of sense for the 49ers to be in the trade market, I think, around the trade deadline in late October. So, you know, I think these next few weeks are really going to determine what the 49ers do, because if they're winning these games and they're in contention, then they're going to need to fortify that spot. And if Josh Norman is not the answer, or Dre Kirkpatrick, the guy they signed this week, is not the answer, then, you know, they could do what they did at receiver basically in 2019 by trading for a cornerback, a veteran, somebody who could contribute right away and maybe stabilize it. I don't know if the Patriots are going to be willing to trade Stephon Gilmore. I he's on the PUP list, so he's not eligible to play after week 6 anyway. So there are, you know, there are going to be some options out there. It's just going to be, you know, CJ Henderson's name is, you know, the out of Jacksonville, that, you know, there were offseason trade rumors with him. So I would expect, if the 49ers continue to win games and stay in the playoff hunt, that they should aggressively look to add to that position, because right now they just don't have the horses, in my opinion, to hang with a lot of these great receivers in the NFC West.
Sacramento Bee's Chris Biederman with us. And just to put an exclamation point on that, I'm glad you really deep dove in. Jalen Reagor, in his second year, just in his first game, granted, not against a great defense, 6 targets, 6 catches. And you add into that Zach Ertz. You add into that the guy ahead of him, even Dallas Goedert. You add on top of that Devontae Smith. You know, going into this Eagles game, the thought was, okay, well, they're starting out against the Lions. They go to the Eagles. Those are going to be two of the worst teams in the NFL. But you're also talking about 2:10 a.m. starts. And you're talking about an Eagles team that looked, again, against a subpar opponent, but looked fantastic. And at the very least, with Jalen Hurts thrown to those weapons, and then they still have to keep honest with Miles Sanders, this seems like a 5-alarm fire. The Niners are favored in this game, and I'm having trouble justifying that completely when I just don't know how the secondary is going to handle all those weapons.
Yeah, and I think it's a tough matchup from another perspective, in that, you know, the Eagles might have the best offensive line in the league. And so if the 49ers aren't able to consistently pressure Hurts with their defensive line, then that could potentially expose their cornerback situation even further. And you just look at the skill sets, like Josh Norman is, you know, 33 years old, not the quickest, most athletic guy, sort of similar to Richard Sherman, just in types of skill set, not known for quickness and all that stuff. You're going against quick twitch receivers who are 22 years old. So if Josh Norman's out there, he's going to be 11 years older than the guys he's covering. And that just doesn't, that matchup doesn't bode well for the 49ers.
He's going to have to play 10 yards back on every single one, right? He's going to have to play 10 yards. They're going to pick all day long.
Yeah, and, you know, they're a good bubble screen team. They, you know, got Quez Watkins can run bubble screens, and we know that the 49ers have struggled in the past against mobile quarterbacks, and that's exactly what Jalen Hurts is. So you look on the other side of the ball, you know, Fletcher Cox against Daniel Brunskill at right guard is not a matchup that favors the 49ers in any sense. I think, you know, the Eagles played the 49ers really well last year, albeit against Nick Mullins in that early season Sunday night game, in part because their defensive line really did a number on the 49ers offensive line. Trent Williams didn't play very well in that game, Of course, Mike McGlinchey didn't play very well in that game and had a few missed blocks, and one at least that led to an interception. So, I think if you look at maybe where the 49ers aren't their strongest, the Eagles are pretty strong. And the fact that the Eagles have a really good offensive line makes them a tough matchup for the 49ers because, like I said, if Jalen Hurst has time to throw, those receivers could potentially expose the 49ers secondary, and that could be real problematic. On top of the fact that, you know, it's the Eagles' home opener, and that last year they didn't have fans in the stadium because of the pandemic. So, you know, the Eagles coming off an impressive week one win, that place could be on fire. You know, like that place could be a real intense atmosphere and a real tough place to win. Despite what we thought about the Eagles coming into the season, I think it's going to be a real tough game. They're a talented team, and the Eagles could potentially win in the trenches. And that's, you know, if the 49ers brand of winning involves winning in the trenches, and the Eagles are a very difficult matchup from that standpoint, on top of the skill guys they already have.
The Sacramento Bee's Chris Biederman joining us this morning. Chris, obviously it was announced yesterday, Raheem Mostert out for the season, which hurts the 49ers, especially with Jeff Wilson Jr. not coming back till at least after week six. This Sunday, are we looking at another healthy dose of Elijah Mitchell as the RB1 for the 49ers?
Yeah, I would think so, and I would think Elijah Mitchell's going to be the first guy up, and then, you know, Trey Sermon's going to be back in the mix, I would assume, and then you have Jamichael Hasty. The thing that's been most difficult, I think, just projecting week to week with Kyle Shanahan since he's become head coach is who's the running back going to be? Who's going to be the guy who is featured? And I would guess it's Mitchell, but, you know, the 49ers have had four different leading rushers in Kyle Shanahan's four seasons here. And so week to week, it's just been very difficult, whether it's, you know, whether it's been Matt Breida or Tevin Coleman or Mostert, you know, like it was tough to figure out exactly how Kyle Shanahan was going to use all those guys and which one was going to be featured. And so a lot of it is going to be matchup specific. I think it's going to be dependent on, you know, the plays that Shanahan and offensive coordinator Mike McDaniel have in mind for this game. So it is tough to tell, you know, that's the thing with the 49ers offense. And I think Kyle Shanahan relishes the fact that it's not super easy to just look at the 49ers offense and say, okay, this is the running back they're going to use. And these are the plays they're going to use. They've sprinkled in, you know, they're an outside zone rushing team, but they've sprinkled in more power throughout the years. It could be that Trey Lance has a more prominent role to throw, you know, a curveball at the defense after only getting four snaps in the season opener. So that's always a possibility. And so Kyle Shanahan's good at keeping defensive coordinators guessing, and he does have a pretty diverse skill set of guys in terms of running backs he can use. And it could also be a Trey Sermon game. You know, it could be an opportunity for Sermon to get going. I would assume not playing last week lit a fire under him after it was presumed that he would be, you know, sort of the 1B option with the starters after working with the first team almost entirely throughout training camp. So, I'm expecting it to be Elijah Mitchell, but Kyle Shanahan has a way of keeping us on our toes when it comes to trying to project who his running backs are going to be.
Well, then we'll finish this way because Sam got for a great segue. I thought when talking about Trey Lance, Trent Williams had a really good quote. He said, usually when a quarterback hands the ball off, you're playing 10 on 11. So if the quarterback keeps the ball, it's 11 on 11, and one missed tackle can be a touchdown. So to your point, you hit on it a little bit, but could we see a larger integration of Trey Lance in this game now that Kyle and the rest of his crew have had a week to prep with Raheem Mostert out and with other issues? You know, could we see a few more snaps out of the kid?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, we got to remember, too, that Trey Lance missed about a week and a half of throwing because he had a splint on his finger before the season opener. So now that he's further removed from that injury, I would assume he's going to be in line to get more playing time, and maybe the 49ers would feel more comfortable about playing him. And to your point about Mostert, I mean, they went into that game with Mostert as the focal point of the offense, or at least the running game. And so they had to make a switch during the game to Elijah Mitchell, and I'm sure that impacted some of the things they were able to do schematically. So they probably are going into this one with another game plan altogether. And yeah, I think it could and probably should include Trey Lance because, you know, in terms of what's scouted and what's unscouted, you know, teams only have four plays to go off of when it comes to Trey Lance in terms of him in regular season action. And I'm sure the Eagles watched all the 49ers preseason stuff, but I'm sure Kyle Shanahan also left a lot kept a lot of his plays out of the preseason just so he could bring unscouted looks into these games on Sunday. So I think, yeah, that's absolutely a possibility. And the fact that Trey Lance is further removed from the hand injury and could potentially throw, maybe Kyle Shanahan feels more confident in him throwing passes. I know he had the touchdown pass last week, but if Trey Lance is back there, and the Eagles think, you know, he's just in there to run like a wildcat quarterback, essentially, and then he comes in and throws a 40-yard bomb, then that's the 49ers' advantage, right? Because it's just all unscouted with Trey Lance at this point, and that's really a wild card for the offense that they should have all season.
Not to mention, I don't know if you knew this or not, it's a good stat I just saw. Every single time Trey Lance has thrown a pass in the NFL, it's been a touchdown.
Yeah, 100%. I think he's the only quarterback in the league, I believe, ever in league history. Yeah, so he's got that going for him. I don't know why he doesn't play more if he's throwing, you know, if all of his passes go for touchdowns.
What are you doing, Kyle? SackB.com. Tell people where you can read you and what you got coming out here pretty soon.
Yeah, SackB.com/49ers. You can find our stuff there. And the Candlestick Chronicles podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network with our good friend Kyle Madsen.
Never heard of him.
Also on the feed.
Yeah, just listen, I know we're new with each other and becoming fast friends. A little advice, just when you're promoting the podcast, just say starring me. Say Chris Biederman and friends, right? Like, you want people to tune in.
Say Chris Biederman and acquaintance. Keep it authentic.
Chris Biederman and guy. I don't really want to lead with Kyle, unless it's Shannon.
Sure. Well, my apologies. We're still feeling things out early on in this relationship, so still trying to figure out what works and what doesn't.
It's all said with love. We, of course, love us the cat-loving, beer-drinking, weird hat-wearing Kyle Madsen, and we love us some Chris Biederman each and every Thursday at 8:05. Seriously, go to sackb.com. Please do support local journalism. It means quite a bit, not just obviously Chris, but Ryan Lillis, Marcus Bertone, and everybody else over there doing such a fine job covering our city. Chris, we appreciate you. Thank you so much.
I appreciate the kind words. See you guys next week.
All right, take care. Chris Biederman. Is that kind words?
Yeah. Yes.
I haven't said a kind word about Ryan Lillis. Good luck there. So we have 1 minute. Or are you trying to go to break? Wait.
No, I'm not trying to go to break. My thingy's broken.
Okay, I see.
The video
that
thingy.
That happens when you get older, pal.
I know.
What'd you do to the video? The YouTubers not see you now?
No, the YouTube can see fine. It's just I'm trying to transition the video feed and get, boy, this has been a fun segment.
Yeah.
And get Chris's image off there because he's not on the phone anymore and I can't do it.
Okay.
See? Chris trying really hard.
Maybe Chris is just going to be a part of the broadcast.
Part of the broadcast, the rest of the show.
Okay, well, that was a minute well spent. Can we take a break?
20 seconds, then we can take a break.
Oh, not yet. Well, let me just say this.
Trying to time it perfectly.
We're going to make our picks tomorrow, Jay. Currently, the Niners are favored by 3.
Mm-hmm. You're taking the Eagles.
This game really troubles me.
You're taking the Eagles, aren't you?
I don't know. To me right now, it's starting to become an argument. I don't know. It's not a matter of are the Niners going to beat the Eagles or the Eagles going to beat the Niners. It's starting to become, are the Eagles going to handle the Niners?
Wow.
I'm really nervous about this game.
Well, we can talk about it more tomorrow at 8:05 with Greg Papa.
Yeah, okay, let's do that. We'll take a break right now, though. Yeah!
That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, once in a blue moon. Wow, yet another stat involving the Yankees. That's the second time this week.
Yeah, they're Yankeeing.
I won't tell you what it is. And
thanks.
Well, a Florida, not quite man in the news. We'll tell you what
Florida child.
Florida child. We'll tell you about that next.
Same Carmichael Dave time, same Carmichael Dave channel, but a new text line number at 916-339-1140. The Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
We are live.
What?
Sacramento, California, Commerce Circle. In the 10th city.
The 10th city.
Sports 1140 KHK, where the highlight today happened before I got here was ammo boxes thrown over the gate that we have.
We'd like to think they were thrown over, right?
I would
hope so. Just the box.
Don't know why. What were there, like five? I saw the picture.
Yeah, it was bad. I pulled up in... in my haze this morning, thought they were condom boxes, so I thought nothing of it.
Yeah, who cares about it? I'm fine with that.
Ammo, whatever. That's a little concerning.
Being safe. Ammo boxes?
Not my thing.
No. Totally nothing's going to go wrong. Absolutely.
No.
Nothing. From the 916, you can always text us at 916-329-1140. Dave and Jay, I feel like you're trolling, but anytime you have to mentally calculate a putt or the angle of a drive based on the distance to the hole, you're using geometry. We were talking earlier about, who, you know, unless you're in a specialized field, who do you, how do you use geometry? Listen, JR, whom I love. That's not... I understand in the spirit of what you're saying that that would classify as something that is geometric thought, but it's not because I learned it in school. When I go up and I drive the ball, first off, I just want it to go straight, but I'm thinking, okay, I'd like to curve it to the left. I'm not doing geometric equations that Mr. Edelman taught me in seventh grade. When I'm figuring out the putt, I'm thinking, okay, I need to hit it to the right a little bit because it slopes to the left and it's downhill, so I need to hit. I didn't learn that in seventh grade. I learned that because, oh, the thing goes left.
Mm-hmm.
So, no. It now, had there been part of my geometry class that involved how to read a putt, heck, how to hit a pool ball. You know, that when you're playing pool, I know that's a lot of geometry that the pros figure out. Great. That would have been useful.
What's the cool term in baseball now? Launch angle?
Yeah, fine. But here's the thing. The players aren't going up. They're going, oh, well, I need to have the launch angle at 1.21 gigawatts.
I would love Vlad Jr.'s explanation of how his 7th or 8th grade geometry class helped him with his launch angle at the major league level.
Exactly. And this is nothing against geometry teachers. I'm just saying those should not be standard classes. Those should be classes that you're briefly exposed to while you decide what you want to do.
Yeah.
You should replace that with finance. Replace that with stock, credit, whatever. How to cook. Anyways, we were talking about this earlier. Right now, it's Once in a Blue Moon.
Once in a Blue Moon. Brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mars.
Those damn Yankees.
Oh, gosh.
They secured win number 82 last night, clinching, get this, their 29th straight winning season. 29 straight winning seasons.
I mean, that's good.
Like the Sacramento Kings of baseball.
Right, except the opposite.
That's the second longest streak in MLB history, trailing a 39 straight winning seasons by...
Let me guess, the Los Angeles Dodgers.
No.
Oh, wow.
The Yankees.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Who did it from 1926 to 1964.
Are the Yankees the most dominant American sports team ever?
Yes.
Including the Celtics?
Yeah.
Including the Lakers?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Lakers, Celtics don't have a 29 straight and a...
No, they don't.
39 either. Straight winning season.
But considering how hard it is in that, you know, sport.
Basketball or baseball?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is it easier to do that in baseball than it would be in basketball? Do you have to wait it?
I don't know. I feel like we see more back-to-backs at this point in basketball than we do baseball.
As we continue to memorialize, this is old sports news, but here is the dearly departed Norm Macdonald on Mixed Martial Arts.
Mixed Martial Arts continues to be one of the fastest-growing sports in the world. This year, the Ultimate Fighting Championship and World Extreme Cage Fighting have merged and plan to form a new sport called Murder.
I love that new clips are popping up all the time. I'm completely here for it. Top five seasons finishing at the rim over the last 5 years based on overall rim finishing grade. This is, of course, in the NBA and your success in, you know, finishing at the rim.
I know one in the top five, I bet.
2021, this last season, Zion Williamson ties Giannis Antetokounmpo from 2018-19 100%. LeBron James in 2017-18 was at 99.9, as was Giannis again last year, 99.9. But there was another entry in the 99.9 club. I'd like to see the one missed. De'Aaron Fox. So, hold on. Zion, Giannis, LeBron, De'Aaron Fox?
De'Aaron Fox, first ballot Hall of Famer. That's what I took from that.
The guy behind Lonzo Ball and Andy Bailey's
You're not leaving that alone, are you?
No.
The amount of offense people took to that.
Listen,
we laughed at it because it's so foddered. If you don't know, Bleacher Report redrafted the 2017 draft. They picked Lonzo Ball 4, De'Aaron Fox 6.
Yeah.
To give you context.
Yeah, behind.
Which is absurd on a lot of
John
levels.
John Collins and Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with Collins moving into the top 5.
No, I don't either.
But I think Fox should have at least been 4.
Fox should have been 4. Without a doubt, Fox should have been 4. Should have gone Tatum, Mitchell, Adebayo, Fox.
That's, Collins.
Collins. And
Harry Giles, 6.
Bleacher Report's apparently continuing to do this. They did a 2018 redraft.
Oh, boy.
This is just lottery picks. Number 14, Wendell Carter Jr. Number 13, Miles Bridges. Number 12, Duncan Robinson. That's a move up. Number 11, Dante DiVincenzo, almost king. Number 10, Colin Sexton. Number 9, Mitchell Robinson. Number 8, Robert Williams. Number 7, Jaren Jackson Jr. Number 6, Mikal Bridges. Number 5, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Number 4, DeAndre Ayton, who was the number 1 pick. Number 3, Michael Porter Jr. Number 2, Trae Young. Number 1, Luka something.
So did they just do the lottery?
Yeah, they just did the lottery, and it's weird because I know the Kings had the number 2 pick that year, but they're not on there.
What do you mean they're not on there?
Outrage! Scandal!
They list the other 13 teams, but not the Kings?
Yeah, Kings weren't on there.
Neither was Marvin Bagley, for those keeping track at home.
Yeah, what's up with that?
By the way, I think it is way too early to be doing redrafts of those drafts.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing. It's
yeah, you need clicks
it's 100%
in
not too early, dude.
You need clicks in September.
We talk about it because it goes
no,
all over the place.
I mean, we talk about a specific player and a couple others. I'm talking about an entire redraft. You need a few seasons.
You know the
like
clicks on this, though, are pretty heavy.
Oh, I'm sure.
Right. That's why they do it. I agree with you philosophically it is. Like, sorry, let me ask you something right now. If you had to bet money, this is my favorite thing, you know, my favorite type of bet. You can walk away with $100,000 or you can bet $100,000, stand to lose it. But if you win $5 million.
Okay.
Would you bet that by the end of his career, Marvin Bagley will be in that top 14?
No.
I would bet yes, and I wouldn't hesitate.
Really?
I would.
Okay.
I have seen way too many times big men take much longer to develop.
And I've seen way too many times where they never develop.
Yeah, but you see it with him.
No, you see the talent.
The
sure,
only thing
you,
I care, the only thing is the injury.
I saw the talent with Stromile Swift.
Stromile Swift never did consistently enough on the floor, put up the numbers Bagley did.
Yeah, but Marvin's number, that's a
what,
whole, that's
empty
a
calories
much.
Again,
I wouldn't, I'm not going to go,
Pringles.
I'm not going to go empty calories.
This is a guy that was putting up 30 and 15, 25 and 10, 25 and 15 his, when he was 18.
When he was a rookie.
Sure. He's now.
He's had two seasons after
he's
that.
He's been hurt.
Okay, and he'll probably keep being hurt.
I mean, that's the thing. If he's hurt, I get it. And I know that that's the major thing.
That, you know.
Let me ask you this. If you knew that over the rest of his career, he'd average 60 games a year and he'd play 10 more years, would you put him in the top 14?
Is he playing for the Kings?
I don't know. I won't even answer that. I'm saying if I told you right now Marvin Bagley would average 60
over the next 10, he might crack the top 14.
I think he cracked top 5.
You're tripping.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. If you,
you
told
tripping.
Me Marvin Bagley.
I literally just watched you fall.
If you told me Marvin was going to average 60 games or more a year for the next 10 years in the NBA, then I'd say, yeah, he's going to crack the top 5 there. Let me double check that real quick. Let me just make sure, because I am kind of defending him. But
well, I was just going to say, while you're doing that, we really haven't explored the idea that it's a pretty good chance he's going to be on the roster come training camp.
Yeah.
And where does he fit in with this team? Again, we'll get more into that as the season approaches, but I want him to start putting that in your head.
Okay.
You only got about 15 seconds
all
left.
All right, top 7. I revise my top 7.
Big
change.
Well,
Luka Doncic, Trae Young, Michael Porter Jr., DeAndre Ayton, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is your top 5. That's a tall order. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, what's on tap? We got a crossover. I want to get to this Florida recruit story you put up there as well. And maybe we have a special guest. I don't know. Jay doesn't even know about this. We'll do all that next.
Yeah, let's go, come on!
Uh-huh!
It's what's on tap.
Here.
Here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's What's on Tap, brought to you by
Unexpected Guests.
Unexpected Guests. Get yourself one today, especially if they happen to work. Well, I was going to say I happen to work on NBA broadcast teams, but this one already had. But I like to end the show sometimes, Jay, with professional National Basketball Association color analyst. And oh my God, here's one.
It's the first time it's ever happened on this one.
Hi, Katie.
Good morning, David.
How are you?
I'm just fantastic. How are you?
I like your Bodega Bay shirt.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm momming it today. I dropped JJ off at school. And yeah, I had to come by and drop off a gift that I need you to take to somebody.
Yeah, I'm your messenger.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
You schlep my things around for me.
Today is a getaway day for myself and the wife and mutual friend of ours,
yep.
Mr. Philliam Oates.
Philliam.
Philliam, that's his full name.
Yeah.
You've got a gift for him.
I do have
a
gift.
Can I open it on the
him.
Way down?
No, you cannot.
Can I peek
but I'd be surprised if you can carry it. It's a little bit heavy.
Oh, did you seriously get you're
it's
having
heavy.
Me take something that's heavy?
It's a little bit heavy.
What? No, that's when you get
Dave,
some,
I know you don't work out, so this is your
as
one
a matter
kit.
Of fact, I do.
You haven't seen his big old fancy like electronic
yeah,
gym
oh, I've
thing?
Heard all about it. And then I've seen the like flexing where he like pushes his arm
not
up
flexing.
Against
oh
his,
yeah.
Yeah
I just happen to be sitting like that and, oh wow look there's a giant
look
bicep.
At these muscles
he likes to yeah. wear he likes to wear his tan shirt because like, oh it's three sizes so big because you know I've been
this is a giant shirt no I'm trying to match it with these dumb shoes
you fail I already
you
told you about
job.
That matching scheme
the shoes are nice I like it
but you don't think it matches with the shoe
that's
with
about as close as you can
yeah,
get
it's
with
not
anything
not easy dude.
Anything in your wardrobe for sure
we discuss neutral colors
that doesn't have a kitty cat on it.
Right.
You know?
Well, you know I like
or
shoes.
Mickey.
Yeah, I know you love shoes.
I'm a shoe honk.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm great.
Yeah?
I'm great. I'm, as you can tell, I'm getting over a kid sickness.
Right.
It's so weird. We haven't been sick for like 2 years, and then
right.
you get, yeah, you move away.
Yeah.
Move away. I mean, I've had it for, I'm on the downside
well, I mean,
now.
As somebody who's gone through this with kids, the thing is, you know, pre-COVID and all that too, kid sicknesses, they're like the mixed martial artists of sicknesses because they will just roll through and destroy. Kid has his snotty nose for 4 days. Adult gets knocked on their rear end
that's
for a week.
The thing. It's like, oh, you got it for three. The kid has it. They didn't feel great one day. Then right. they really had it. Then the third day, it's like, oh, they're much better and they can go back to school. And then it's like yeah. a week later, still suffering.
Plus now, anytime you have a sniffle, it's, oh my God,
everyone thinks you have the plague.
Right.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Isaiah had to go home from school for 2 days because he had the sniffles and
oh,
we had
yeah.
to go wait, COVID test it all. It's a pain.
It is. It is a pain.
You know
yeah.
it is a pain. So anyways, What's on Tap today? Brought to you by Unexpected radio guests. We got a lot on tap today. A's Royals daytime baseball. A's looking to win two in a row. Paul Blackburn on the mound there. 11:10 first pitch right here in the sporty 11:40. Let's double up on some baseball. Padres Giants. Giants looking to take 3 of 4 in this series. Kevin Gausman on the mound versus Pierce Johnson. That's a rough name. Pierce Johnson. Dear Lord, I've never heard that name before. That's
oh,
unfortunate.
My goodness.
You think that Pierce Johnson.
It makes your pants split,
wow.
doesn't it?
I told Katie I'd rip my pants earlier, which is true. You knew that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I know.
Pierce Johnson. Wow. That's not great. Who's this?
Wonder if his middle name's Albert. She got it.
Did you get it?
I did.
We'll leave that alone. I'll let him figure out the rest.
Let's touch it later. I mean, don't. Let's touch on that later.
Dodgers. Jeez, Katie. Shock, Katie. You got higher standards to hold up to,
geez.
Dude. So all of that right there. How much time do we have here, Jay?
I don't know.
Okay.
Like 5 minutes.
coming up tomorrow. Again, I will be on the old road, and we will be testing out this new whatever the heck we have. What this is some new YouTube thing we have, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So let me get this clear. You're going to be on YouTube on location.
Allegedly, we tested this yesterday.
He swears, like, I'm not going to be able to, like, make this happen, even though we tested it and everything went smooth yesterday.
I have been...
He's, like, trying to put this...
What does it feel like to work with someone that has little faith in you?
Oh, well...
I mean, because I worked with him for a long time. I just want to know if it's the same.
It's very much the same.
I have been incredibly clear about this. It has nothing to do with faith or lack thereof in Jay.
Oh.
It has everything to do with faith and lack thereof of the environment I'll be in, the internet connection, and the new thing we're using. Okay. On this day, Katie often wonders why when she tells me stories about her lovely child, why my eyes begin to roll back. It's like every parent who has gone through this before.
It's because you're a terrible person.
It is. On this day, 11 years ago, I had a conversation with my daughter that popped up today. See if this sounds familiar,
it's
Katie.
It's bedtime. No. What's wrong?
I want to go to bed.
But if you go to bed, that's where you can dream. You can dream, and you can dream about unicorns and teddy bears. Okay?
Yeah.
Look it. I've got your bunny. Okay? I've got your turtle. Okay? A sleepy night-night, okay?
Mason's not
happy. I don't want to.
Why?
You
want to watch Wow Wow Wubsy?
Yeah.
Oh, sweetheart, you can watch Wow Wow Wubsy tomorrow.
Hello.
Avery,
you want to sing a song?
Yeah.
Okay, ready? Twinkle, twinkle, little star. Sing with me. How I wonder what you are. Up above the world so high.
Like a diamond.
And then they start yelling at
us.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star. How I wonder what you are. You're a smiler.
Where does the time go?
I love you.
I don't want to go back.
But I love you.
I love you. I want to go back.
Okay. Well, I love you, though.
I love you.
That is the one thing I don't have a problem with. She's the best child at going to bed. But she loves Twinkle Twinkle, so she has a little owl that you push the foot and it plays a lullaby and it plays Twinkle Twinkle, and she always pushes it to go to Twinkle Twinkle. And then sometimes she'll be like, Mama, come sing Twinkle Twinkle to me.
I
go in and do it. When your child asks you to do it, you do it.
You do whatever you can. I would probably shave my eyebrows off if it would get her to go to bed sometimes.
That might help your overall appearance.
From the 916.
You got called ugly.
On behalf of all Kings fans, please congratulate Katie.
Oh, that's very
nice,
sweet.
But
I've been a horrible person. I haven't done like a thank you on social media. It was overwhelming,
great
Dave.
Job.
It's overwhelming.
Great job at that. Great job at thanking
your
fans.
You know what? Yes.
Who were there for you. By the way, it's spelled K-A-T-E-Y, so.
That's all right. Hey, it's people know it's different.
Before we get to the crossover, a little trivia question or a trivia for you. Sound great at the water cooler. I like to give these nuggets away from time to time. Did you know that Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, Baba Black Sheep, and the ABC song all have the same tune?
Mm.
Yeah.
Cool.
I don't know what I would have done today if I didn't know that.
Yeah, make sure you share that with like 5 friends. Right?
Let
everyone be as informed as you.
Right, exactly.
Crossover time right now.
Who is it? What's happening on the afternoons with Jason Ross? Let's find out right now with the crossover. Here's today's crossover.
Hi, Dave and Jay.
Hi.
Not Katie.
It's time for a crossover. And sometimes the crossover can be an unfair question, but hey, that's what the crossover is for. I love that every day at 8 o'clock you guys either talk to Sean Salisbury or Eric Armstead, both who played the game at the highest level. But you also talked to Greg Papa, Chris Biederman, and Matt Barros. So my question to you, Dave, and to you, Jay, is revolving the guys that didn't play the game at the highest level. Chris Biederman, Matt Barros, and Greg Papa. There's 3 guys there. I need one of them to play the role of Sean Salisbury in the NFL as a quarterback, and one of them to play the role of Eric Armstead as a pass rusher trying to get to the quarterback. So who's your quarterback, Biederman, Barros, or Papa, and who's your pass rusher, Biederman, Barros, or Papa?
Biederman's the quarterback.
Is he?
Biederman's the quarterback, and Papa is definitely
the
rushing the passer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's rough. I don't think any of them have much success, though. I don't think that's happening. All right, we'll ask Jason's crossover when we get back. For Chris Biederman, for Jay Mars, I'm Carmichael Dave, and for Katie Christensen-Hunter.
That's me.
We'll see you tomorrow.